Welcome to Amiga Ireland. It's the 4th of October, and today we've got a lot of interesting stuff to cover. In the news, we'll be looking at the big new hardware and software releases, among other things. There are new Amiga and C64 game releases that we'll cover in the game section, and we've got some discoveries, including the mystery of Amiga.com. And we have our usual events, Ask Amiga and Music. So before we get going, Luke, how are you doing?
I'm pretty all right, thank you very much. I've recently received David Pleasance's book, and I've started reading it, and I must say, it's pretty interesting, you know? I'm usually very skeptical if it comes to reading someone's memoirs, but up till now, I'm pretty surprised. It's a pretty interesting book. I can suggest reading it to everyone who's interested in history of Commodore.
Cool. Rob, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I was away for a few days there. I was in Centre Parks, which is a great little sort of holiday village kind of all in one thing. You know, one of these things that, you know, happens when you have a family. But yeah, it was fantastic. And by God, it's a well-oiled machine they run. You know, it's just so organized, so polished. Everything is just absolutely spot on now. I can really recommend it. And I believe there's a load of them in the UK, but I believe there's one being built in Longford at the moment. So you get your first one in Ireland now in the next year or two.
Oh, very good.
As stress-free as you can have a holiday with kids, I think. You know, my son is 15 months now and, you know, he was loving it. It was great.
Well, I was in an unusual situation last week where I had to repair a Dell Inspiron where the Wi-Fi went because of a bad update. And the only way I could actually do it was to use the Amiga 1200, which was really surreal because it wasn't like the phone would have been better and I didn't use the Amiga for the crack of it or anything. I needed to use the Amiga, I needed the IRC channel I needed to get to and stuff. And I was able to do the whole process on the Amiga 1200, get the advice in the IRC channel, open the link in iBrowse, get the code I needed to change in Grub and go and log in and do it that way. So I thought that was absolutely brilliant. So that really made my month.
That's awesome. I've done similar myself in the past as well for downloading network drivers.
Great, congratulations.
Yeah, excellent. Did you tell them on IRC that you were using an Amiga?
Did I say it on IRC? I'm not sure, but I did. I shouted it all over social media anyway. I put screenshots up, you know.
Good stuff.
Good one.
Okay, let's go on to the news.
Okay, first up, if you've been following the A1200.net Kickstarter projects, the keycaps for them are finally in production. They have a post up on their Kickstarter page about it, and you can see the trip to China they made, examining the different keys and, you know, fine-tuning and polishing the end result. So you get basically a perfect replica keycap, and they've really looked the business. And I know people have been waiting on these for quite a while. They'll be worth the wait by the looks of things. But they look fantastic, and especially with the Kickstarter case, they're just going to be brilliant.
Very good. Commodore, the inside story by David Pleasance is available to buy. As previously mentioned, I was a Kickstarter backer, so I got my book a bit earlier. The good news is there are some places where you can actually buy the book, and one of those places is downtimepublishing.com. If you like history, Commodore archaeology, why not take a look down there and order the book?
And I have found a new podcast, sort of a podcast. It's a bit more than that. It's called 10 Minute Amiga Retrocast. And it's a new Amiga show that is viewable on your Amiga if you've got the right setup. The website for that is 10mark.com. And it's a series of practical projects that you can do on your Amiga, such as playing video or listening to the podcast itself on your Amiga. And he works through it. Really good idea. Nice and hands-on for anyone who's into that kind of thing.
I haven't actually looked into that yet, but I've seen some positive comments on it from the last episode.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been an update to NetSurf to the 68K port of NetSurf. That's, I think, pretty much the only chance you'll get of running a CSS browser on a classic Amiga. So it really, you know, as you can imagine, needs the full grunt of a vampire or emulation, to be honest, because, you know, an O30 is just not going to cut it. But it's great to see that it's being developed nonetheless. And the new update sorts out some new CSS stuff and another few small but important things there. But if you have a powerful enough classic system, then that's well worth a download.
FPGA SID is in the making. You can have a look at www.fpgasid.de, and that's an interesting thing because SID is a music chip that's been sitting, not sitting, but sitting in C64. But there's one thing, they die very quickly. And they are in huge demand, and a lot of people have been browsing and looking to buy them. Even the fake ones can sometimes achieve, you know, like a huge amount of money if it comes to buying. But this idea of putting a SID into the FPGA is really great, and I've seen and I've heard some demos regarding this particular SID, and it sounds really well. I look forward to buying one, actually, because you can actually emulate both SIDs, the old one and the new one. You can have a dual SID as well, so this is a great idea. The price probably will be high as well, but if you like Commodore 64 and if you like SID music, I'm sure you won't be disappointed.
Excellent. It's good to see that that's being done as well, because I know there were sort of like people were using SIDs for projects, standalone projects, yes, outside the C64, and they were harvesting them from C64s, which is a bit of a shame. So it's good to see this
now. There's a Swedish, I think, thing called SID Box or Hard SID or something like that. And
There is a SID box.
And they create loops. And also, you know, it's been used in pop music. For example,
synthesizers. Yeah.
Synthesizers and Timbaland. This guy is infamous for using SID and the samples taken from SID music demo scene.
There you go.
Amiga Live has been released at 0.95 version, and you can get that at AmigaLive.com now. And in case you don't know what that is, Amiga Live is basically an all-in-one Amiga emulator. So you can run this on your Mac or your Windows PC or your Linux machine, and you can play Amiga games in it without any configuration. Just download it and run it. But it takes things a whole step further by letting you play people online. So you could play Alien Breed 2 player and the other person can be somewhere else in the world, and it's a really great idea. John Kayanis is the guy responsible for that, and the latest release has some user interface changes and some fixes for different controllers. So another bonus is that you can use your USB gamepad and joystick and stuff like that with it.
That's cool. And that reminds me, I just modded a USB controller for a friend so he could play Sensible Soccer on a Raspberry Pi with a Zip stick. So that'd be ideal for that kind of thing as well.
That is fantastic. Jeez, every Amigan should live near Rob.
Hi, Will, if you're listening. Okay, what's next? Oh, this is a big one. There's been an alpha release of the Gold 3 core for the Vampire boards. Now, this is a big one because this is the one they've been working towards that has AGA support in it. And so essentially it's giving you AGA compatibility on the board. So it lets you use the AGA software and AGA screen modes and that on an Amiga 600, which is very impressive stuff. Like I said, it's an alpha version yet. So, you know, still a lot of work to be done on it. And this current core doesn't have the RTG or FPU parts in it. So if that's something you use, you'll have to switch cores to try it and switch back again. Yeah, there's plenty of information out there on it. I'm sure you can find it. It's a big, big release for them.
Nice, very nice. Apart from Amiga 600, you can also use it in Amiga 500 and 2000.
Sorry, yes, of course, yeah. Sorry. I often forget that it's in the 500 as well, you know, because it's just, I associate it with the 600 because there's so many with 600s with it.
Another big release that really took me by surprise just about 2 or 3 days ago there was Amiga OS 3.1.4 for 68K machines has been released. The full statement is on Hyperion-Entertainment.com, but basically the new update can either be installed as a software update, as workbench like floppies, which you can just download, and there's also a ROM chip that you can swap in to give you a few more benefits. So this has support for Vampire. They've been working with the Apollo core team to make that happen. It's got large file system support, which is something that's interesting to a lot of people, I think, as part of the FFS file system update. There's updates to Disk Doctor, the preferences editor, the shell supports long file names, which is a nice one, as well as pipes, soft links and hard links. And another one that I'm really interested in is PCL printer drivers, because I have a HP printer here and I cannot print from my Amiga, and I would use it way more if I could. And there's an optional new icon set included, and the software, the digital download, costs €25, and it's available now.
Yeah, it's excellent. I point out that there's the ROM image is available, but you can't actually buy physical chips yet. So that's probably coming down the line a little bit. But yeah, for now, you'll need to have someone with a chip burner to put it on a chip for you.
Map from the chip as well, if you've got, you know, like, for example, Blizzard cards or...
Yeah, and the ACAs, yeah, yeah.
It's, in my opinion, even better because it speeds everything up as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite a big update. There's a lot of stuff under the hood, as they say, you know, that's been updated, and it's well worthwhile.
To be honest, in my opinion, it brings a lot of mess, to say the least, because we've got 3.1, we've got Workbench 3.1 from Cloanto as well, we've got 3.5, we've got 3.9, we've got all the Boeing bags, you know, from 1 to 4, and now this release, but I think this one is legit, to be honest. And
this is a strange one because this is obviously much newer than 3.9.
It is much newer.
And contains some, and a lot of the parts are made by, are coded by people who were also worked on 3.9. So a lot of the same features have been implemented and re-implemented for 3.1. It's an interesting one, but there is a script available as well on AmiNet for installing this on top of 3.9.
Right.
And what it'll do is it'll keep a lot of the 3.9 stuff intact. But let you also benefit from the 3.1.4 stuff.
Oh my God, it sounds like a game of Jenga.
Yeah, it can be all right, but it's a funny one because, like, I probably will stick it on ROMs for my own machines, but I think I'll leave it for a little while until I have a real need for it, to be honest, because, you know, I'm happy enough with 3.9 in my machines. It's really, you know, if I was going to be sort of working on a slightly lower end machine that, you know, this would probably be more suitable for. But yeah, I probably will eventually put it in the 3.9 machines and, come up with some sort of mongrel version of the Amiga OS for it. Yeah.
Even more tinkering with the OS.
Well, that's the
fun
bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
I like it a lot, to be honest. My 3.1 is so patched, but works very well. On my 030 on my 060, I've got two partitions with 3.1 and 3.9, depending on my mood. Mm. Whatever I need or whatever I want to use.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's
actually.
Right.
It's, you know, with hard disk space being so cheap, there's no reason not to have, you know, you could have half a dozen different partitions.
I think that's on a SD card or CF card that is like, 32 gigabytes or even 16 gigabytes. You can put all the Amiga software, if I'm not mistaken.
In the world.
Even future ones as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Last of the news section here. Stephen Jones's Checkmate A1500 Plus case, which has been on Kickstarter for the last while, has only just today, as we're recording this, passed its goal. So, that's brilliant. It's been funded. It was at like 101% or 102% of the target. So that's close to £80,000 sterling that he's raised to put this case into production, which is brilliant. And if you haven't seen it, it's basically a new computer case that's based on the Amiga 3000 desktop design. So it's just, you know, the pizza box style, with the option for a keyboard garage underneath. So it has little optional risers on the sides for putting a small keyboard underneath. But it also supports, PC motherboards or, sort of micro ITX, or is it micro ITX motherboards? So you can build a full PC in it as well if you wanted, or you can put a 500, 600 or 1200 in it. So, that's it. So I'm working on some of the boards for inside that, so I'm going to have to start looking into that now as well myself. But yeah, it's great. It's great that it's after getting its goal. It's fantastic.
Congratulations! That was a really good idea to release something like that, and the casing looks pretty stylish in my opinion. It's got this feeling from A1000 and A3000, which is really, really nice.
Yeah,
it combines
nice. Right
both.
Right down to the
actually, you know.
Yeah. And right down to the LEDs on the front that are, basically directly copied from the 3000.
Right.
And it's a lot of nice little touches in it like that.
Are those LEDs actually a part of it, yeah?
The LEDs are, yeah. Yeah, so it's
amazing.
It's part of the case, yeah. And there's a small little board in there, and that's one of the boards I'm working on. It will have connectors for both the PC and the Amiga, so you can use those LEDs, because the PC and the Amiga use different currents. Basically, you have connectors for both, so you can use either type of computer with the same LEDs.
It's a modder's dream.
It is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, congratulations to everyone involved, including you, Rob.
Cheers. It's only a small thing, and I'm not one for the advertising of stuff, really. So all that should go to Stephen for the immense amount of publicity he's generated for it.
Good stuff. Okay, let's move on to the gaming section.
The first game is Trap Runner. The game was released during Function Demo Scene Party in Budapest, Hungary. The game is a little platformer, but it's really nice, really stylish, and it's got that mixture of Giana Sisters as well. Really fluid, and it's not Backbone, which is really, really important.
Yeah, yeah.
So it works even on Amiga 500. So we've got some links in the show notes, so why not take a look and enjoy yourself?
Well, this game called SQRXZ4, it's been released and it works on OCS Amigas according to their website. It's a lovely little platformer with really nice games, and it looks like it's got decent controls too, so you can check that out in our show notes.
C64 game now, that was released, called Shadow Switcher. Which is a very interesting concept. You know, a single screen platform game, jumping around the platforms and collecting coins or rings or, your objects, and trying to avoid the bad guys. The interesting feature is that you've also got a shadow that's running around the screen as well. And at any point, you can switch places with your shadow. So if you're cornered by some of the bad guys, got you trapped in a corner, you can swap places with your shadow and, an interesting mechanic that I'm looking forward to trying.
There's another C64 game in the making called Rage in Orlando. It's another platformer, and it's really nice and stylish, to be honest, once again. You're just a little knight, and your task...
I thought you were going to say teapot.
I was about to say a camel.
Right.
Don't know why. But anyway, you're just a little knight, and your task is to find someone or something in a castle full of monsters, zombies, vampires, and all that stuff. So I look forward to a release, because the game is, again, very fluid, very polished, and it looks really nice.
Another C64 game now, Tower of Rubble. And this, I just watched a video of it. There, this looks really, really good. It's a puzzle game where you're a tiny little stick figure, and basically you're walking around on and climbing up and down on these on sort of a brick jagged landscape. And the idea is that bricks are falling from the sky, and you have to try and avoid getting crushed. So you move around and you climb up on the bricks that have just fallen to get out of the way of other bricks, and that's the idea. But it's really nicely done, and the bricks fall in time with the music, and it's all very, very slick looking, very, very nice. Looks like a really sort of playable, kind of a puzzle, kind of a game. It really looks interesting. It was well worth looking at the video and checking that out, because I think that'd be great fun to play.
Cool. Some great games coming out at the moment. Yump 64 pre-orders are now open for the next batch. This is a multi-platform game. So it works on the Commodore 64 natively, but it's also available for Mac and PC. And there's something very hypnotic and addictive about this game, due to the kind of the graphics, and the music, is very kind of really pulls you in. And there's a game that it reminds me of, which I cannot remember the name of now. And I'm not going to... oh, God, it's on the tip of my tongue. No, forget about it.
Maybe Hexagon?
No, it's one where you're kind of crawling around the edge of the screen in a circular way, and everything's coming at you. Tempest. Do you remember Tempest 2000?
Of course, yeah. Yeah?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of based on that. It looks a bit like that, but wow, it's a great game. This one looks fantastic.
Finally, in the game section, there's a CD32 compilation that's been released. There are a few of these around, but this one is basically 50 CD32 games. You know, which is all very interesting because they're in original CD32 format. So that includes any kind of CD video intros, you know, saving to the NVRAM on the CD32, CD32 controls, all, you know, so they're all in sort of the original CD32 format, but all on the one disc. And that's fantastic for anyone who has a CD32.
Lovely. Okay, let's move on to discoveries.
My discovery this month is Amiga.com, and I think the original owners probably sold it to someone because it looks pretty alright. There is a surprise down there. It brings the feeling of anticipation and curiosity. Who's got it? And what's gonna happen next, to be honest, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, have you seen it, guys?
I saw it. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what happens. But I wonder if they actually sold it or if they just didn't renew it and someone nipped in there and got it at the right time.
It's not the style of Amiga.inc.
No.
Even the font is more polished and stylish, and the colors are better, and everything's better, and looks better, and the message is better as well. And I think.
And it's not written in Backbone.
Yeah, it's a redeeming backbone, yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah.
Out of curiosity, I just went down there and, you know, like, got myself, like, surprised that, what? Really? Okay.
Well done, Luke. Well, I have discovered something interesting about burning images for the CD32 if you're using a Linux machine. So some of the images, especially the older ones, the compilations, they're available as .q files rather than ISOs. And they are difficult to work with on Linux. The existing applications don't handle them very well. There's Brasero on GNOME, and there's the one on KDE. But anyway, neither of them handle these queues properly anyway. So I found an application that does do it well. It's called IMG Burn. And this is actually a Windows application, but it works perfectly on Linux using Wine. So once you use the lowest CD, the burning speed available, you'll be fine. They recommend even using one speed burning. Now, the burners on modern laptops often aren't able to go any slower than 10, right? They're like German motorways. So I burned at 10 and I wasn't sure if it was going to work or not, but it worked fine. So we have lots of compilations. We've got about 4 or 5 CDs full of games in the museum now, which is fantastic.
Often the advice that says burn it at one speed is kind of, well, old. It's old advice that's kind of, that it has served well over the years, but it dates from a time when you could buy one speed CDs. But nowadays, blank CDs won't burn that low and burners won't go that low. And it's essentially, it amounts to the same thing. It's just, if you can burn at the lowest speed that your disk is capable of, it'll work well. If the slowest your drive goes is 10 speed and you have disks that go from 1 to 20 speed, let's say, it's not going to give you a good image. But if your disk goes from 10 to 30 speed, then 10 speed is a good speed to burn at. So it depends on basically the media and going at the slowest speed the media supports.
Okay, good to know. And another discovery. Now, this is completely new to me. AHX, which stands for Abyss's Highest Experience Format, is an audio format for Amiga. One thing I really missed moving from the C64 to the Amiga is were the SID files. They were absolutely tiny. The SID files, they generated the different waves and manipulated those. So there was something really cool about that. And while the mod files were really kind of advanced in the way that they included the samples and stuff like that, there was something special about the SID files too. So these are basically SID for Amiga. They basically create fundamental waveforms, and the tool for creating this music gives you a lot of options for ways to manipulate them. And there are more things you can do than you could do, say, with a tracker on samples. So there are players available for lots of platforms, Windows, Linux, Mac, Amiga OS, BOS even. And there's some great collections of music you can download and have a listen to. Something very different to the mods. And there's a link to those in the show notes. And that's my discovery.
That's cool. I'm going to add one in here. It's not strictly Amiga related, but you, just because you mentioned BOS there, Haiku, which is the open source continuation of BOS, has just been released in the last couple of days. It has its first beta release. So it's been in alpha for 10 years now, I'd say. But yeah, it's only in the last couple of days it's reached beta. And it's a really interesting OS for PCs if you have a spare one locking around, or if that's your kind of thing. It's well worth looking at, because there are some things that are quite Amiga-like about it. For example, it's the only other OS I know where if you have a file requester open, you can swap it to the current directory just by dragging the directory from your desktop into it. And, you know, there are little touches like that that are like, yes, I wish all the mainstream OSs had these features. So, you know, there's some nice little things like that. There's a system similar to data types as well. And as if there are a few kind of nods to the Amiga in it. And it's definitely if you have a spare PC or even want to give it a go in a virtual machine, it's free to download an image, and well worth a look.
That is interesting, Rob. It's at least 5 years since I tried Haiku before they started adding the makings of the Wi-Fi stack. And it booted really quickly. Now that you mention it, it was very Amiga-like, actually. Even the way the widgets and stuff like that sometimes display something Amiga-ish about them.
Some nice nods. Yeah, no, and all the networking sorted. It's actually quite good at this stage.
Cool. Okay, let's move on to community news and events. Just gone on the 22nd of September, the Finnish Amiga Users Group met, and Mike from Kuanto turned up, and you can see photographs from that event there. It looks like they had a lot of fun. They had some nice merchandise on sale with their own logo on stuff like hats, t-shirts and mugs, which is pretty cool to see, and I'm sure it was a nice surprise to have Mike there as well.
Crops up a lot, doesn't he?
He does, he's great.
Just pops up everywhere.
yeah, himself and Trevor very good for the mileage, you know, for traveling.
Yeah.
And also the Computer and Communication Museum of Ireland are having a gathering on Friday the 12th of October. Admission is free, but get in touch first as places are limited. And all of the Amiga and Commodore machines will be fired up in there. And also actually just on the side, it was Heritage Night in Ireland last week. And there was a huge event at the museum. So we had all the Commodore and Amiga stuff fired up and the new CD32 from Eddie Carroll. But also Clive Sinclair's C5 electric car was there, and there was somebody driving that around.
Cool.
Really impressive, because that thing is fast. I thought it was going to be like a milk float crawling along, you know. But it was really fast, really fast. Yeah, and also we met a new Amiga head who has just moved to Galway. I left before I got contact info, so I think your name is Keith. But Keith, it was nice to meet you. And if you're listening, come along to the museum on Friday the 12th from 5:30. We'll be there. And Keith is an Amiga 500 that needs some TLC, so we'll see what we can do with that as well.
I don't know what it is about Galway, but it just seems to be attracting Amigans from all over the place.
It's crazy.
It's the Amiga centre of Ireland for whatever reason. It's brilliant.
Yeah, cool. And we're also going to have George Sakianos, who is known as Walk Arrow, with us that day. So I'm looking forward to meeting George.
Fantastic. I wish I was going to be there. Because that's actually my birthday, and I wouldn't mind hanging out in the computer museum for have a little party. But, well.
Yeah, you'll have to make it into us someday, Rob.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'd love to. If there's something going on over the Christmas period, I'll keep an eye out. Okay, so for the Amiga Ireland meetup in January, we've got a couple of workshops confirmed. We interviewed Muadib a while ago, but he's going to do a 3D modeling workshop with Lightwave, which would be very interesting. We're going to have an AROS installation configuration with Neil McCafferty, who's a core AROS developer. And we're going to have an AmiBerry installation and configuration demonstration as well. Again, very, very interesting for anyone who's interested in the Raspberry Pi kind of setups.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. There's going to be a lot of stuff to learn at Amiga Ireland next year. And it's one of my favorite things about Amiga Ireland is actually the workshops. Obviously the games as well, but the workshops are really unique. You get to do all kinds of cool things and learn, get insight into new stuff. And we've had really knowledgeable people who are good at teaching and explaining stuff. So that's really great. Next, we've got online activity. So first of all, I want to welcome new members to the online group. So welcome to Alessandro Kurtz, who's also very involved in the museum in Galway now since he started working in the Insight Research Centre that's it's attached to. Rodolfo Guerrera, Sengiz Dennis Aydin, who's got some new Amiga 4000s he's been posting about in the group. Congrats, Sengiz, your enthusiasm is infectious. João Paulo Almeida, Steve Bennett, Gerald McMahon, Alan Coulihan. How's it going, Alan? We've been chatting, actually. We know common people here in Galway. And Jose Auspicio Henriquez.
Also, Ricky Murgia, Daniel Pierzecki, Fabian McElhill, Matt Armstrong, David John Rambo, Breeze.
This is some list. And Davian Hunter, Jan Halholm, Rupert Herbst, Eric Hogan, who's AROC and, a very prolific porter and modder of games. Andreas Mergel of Amiga Future, Cameron Armstrong, and Keith Lutner.
Ah, okay. So Eric Hogan, if you're listening, they are your CD32 images I was talking about earlier.
Yes.
And they have brought our museum to life. So thank you very much for those.
Mm-hmm.
The top Facebook post was a post about Steve McGarr posted, and he had shots of his 3D printed lithophane of Simon the Sorcerer. Go and have a look. The link to that is in our show notes here at AmigaUsers.ie, and it looks fantastic. But he also has a link to the actual file you can download if you want to print your own. And Lukasz Mulczyński?
Let me help you. Lukasz Mulczyński
posted issue 5 of Secret Service Game Magazine, which looks really cool. And that was one of the most popular posts of the month on Facebook. And on Twitter, the top tweet of the month was a post about a 30-year-old computer, the Amiga, obviously running IRC and Twitter client, interacting with people, including some Irish language accounts on Twitter. So that's been the online activity for the last month. So it's nice to see some new people. And if you can make it to the event in January, go to the website and check out where you can see the schedule and book tickets, because that's really what all this is about in the end. And it's time to move on to Ask Amiga.
This is a question from Irla himself. and he's curious about installing PFS3 and whether he can change the file system without losing his data like he can do on Linux. Short answer, no. Basically, no. it's pretty impossible to do that. To be honest, it's pretty impossible on Linux as well, but Linux kind of hides that from you and sort of shuffles things around to make it work. Usually it's easy enough to get around it by just copying everything off the partition and changing your file system and copying it back on. But so now changing the file system, not only can you not do it on the fly and save your data, you can't even do it with the computer running, if you like. So you have to, once you change the file system in HD Toolbox or change certain aspects of the file system, like the block size or, you know, certain important configuration options like that. Once you do that, basically the partition's effectively invalid. So the OS will still see the old partition. So it's a kind of dangerous state to be in. So you should really reboot at that point. And only after you reboot will the changed partition reappear on Workbench, and it will reappear as an unformatted disk with the new file system. So you need, it's very, very important to do that reboot. Yeah. And basically anything you do with the partition will be lost in the meantime. So essentially no, but it is easy enough to switch file systems and to change settings of the, in mm-hmm. HD Toolbox, but you really, really need to do that reboot. And there's no way of doing it with the data intact.
I'm really glad I asked.
That is
exactly the kind of thing I would miss, even if it was in the documentation in capital letters.
Yeah, it's simple enough process. You know, you have to sort of work within the limits of the Amiga. It is actually a sort of a simple and straightforward system that I've always liked, but it lacks the polish of more modern implementations, really.
And Rob, can I ask you one more question that's kind of related, but not exactly the same? If I want to change my 4 GB card to a 16 GB hard disk, can I use smaller, you know, small partitions under 4 GB to get around it so that, I'm able to recognize up to 4 GB now with the setup I have. So if I split, or is the limit by disk for 4 GB or by partition?
It's kind of both. It depends on the aspects of setup. You've got two things involved. you've got the device driver and you've got the file system. The two independent problems, both limited to 32-bit because it's a 32-bit system. And back in the day, no one would ever dream of having more than 4 gigabytes. So basically, that's where your problem is. At the fundamental level, the device driver and the file system both need to agree on how to access the files, and neither are by default are capable of reading above 4 gigabytes. So what you do is you basically have a boot partition that's within the first 4 gigabytes of the disk, and that has to be supported from cold boot, so by the ROM file systems, ROM device driver. But once you've booted that, you can use that to install any other device drivers that you might need to access more than 4 gigabytes. So once that's booted, you can replace the driver or update the driver, patch it. Basically, that's it. That will let you access the rest of the disk. As for file systems, they're stored on the hard disk itself. So once you have an updated file system installed in the rigid disk block, which is the sort of the boot sector of Amiga hard drives, then you can use that on any partitions. But you still need to have it for the device driver below 4 gigabytes. Plenty of systems for getting around that. Like OS 3.5 and 3.9 do that already. They boot up, replace the device driver, reboot, and that gives you your sort of your double boot that they're famous for. And that lets you then use, you know, whatever, like my A1200 has a 120 gigabyte hard drive in it. What we were talking about earlier, the ROM of 3.1.4 will also have this updated file system and device driver in it. That's key because it means you don't have to have the first partition below 4 gigabytes. You can have the first partition wherever you want, whatever size you want. That's one of the key advantages to using that update on a ROM, or if you've got an accelerator that supports the flash ROM as well.
Okay, thanks for explaining that, Rob. I'm probably going to cause some damage now, but I'm going to go and get busy with all that. Thanks, Rob. And if anybody has a technical question for Rob, you can send it to info@amigausers.ie. So that's it for this month. We're going to finish out with a song by Tom Waxom from his Kickstart album. And the song is called Chipset. And thanks to George Sokianos for the idea. He uses it on his YouTube channel in one of his videos. And I just thought it was a lovely song. And oh, please leave us a review on iTunes. Dad19166. Thanks for your review. Not my dad, by the way. Thank you for leaving a review. And if you're listening, if you enjoy the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us be more discoverable. So that's it until next month. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Cool.
We got you for the whole thing.
Yeah, we made it. We made it.